The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and I'm thrilled to be here on a Wednesday, March 4th, for a Brady Quinn football show.
What's up? Will, it's been so long since we had a chance to work together, to talk, to hang out. I missed you, man. I missed the Pick Six.
I missed you, too. You guys did a great job holding down the podcast at the combine for me.
Prisco wasn't involved too much. I think Jamie Eisenberg at one point, the days were so long, he started nodding off during the podcast. That's a little behind the scenes look. But yeah, it was actually a lot of fun. Ryan did a great job hosting it when he did it. So all credit to everyone involved because they were long days. I hope people realize it was solid 16-hour days.
Yeah, the new schedule of the combine switched things up so you guys would – I mean, and really, you know, it probably would have helped to have more personnel there. And you could have split up the duties even more. But, you know, you had to have somebody on in the morning at 8 a.m. for CBS Sports HQ. Right. You had to have somebody recapping the combine drills at 11 o'clock.
Like, who are we missing, you think? Who would have made a lot of sense to bring to the combine to be there in Indianapolis?
If I could think of a name, I'd give you one. Nothing really pops in my mind.
No Billy Brinson. No Billy Brinson. That one would make a lot of sense.
Speaking of CBS Sports HQ, Brady will be on CBS Sports HQ later today. So we're going to have this is going to be a tight podcast. We're going to keep it tight. Like me in my 30s, the opposite of me in my 30s. We're going to keep it tight. We may get to mailbag questions, but I don't know if that'll happen. However, eventually we will answer your questions. Leave them on Apple Podcasts, download, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review. If you do, we will get to it at some point. Today we're going to talk some Dak Prescott. We'll probably talk some Tom Brady because, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to not talk Tom Brady? And Brady Quinn and I will have a nuanced conversation about the intricacies of a collective bargain agreement and labor negotiations. So Devo, bring out your notebook and take notes because this is going to be CBA 101.
That's right. That's right. I'll do my best to contribute what I can and kind of give you some differences between, you know, maybe what, you know, people are saying is a good deal or bad deal, why it might be depending on who you ask and who you talk to about this particular proposed deal, which being reviewed, I believe, at least last I checked, by both attorneys. It will later be then voted upon once the language is figured out. And you do have to acknowledge, not to get to the subject too quick, but the language about the data, right? All this data that we're collecting, that is actually some of the more vague language within what we've seen so far in the CBA because we really don't know how teams are going to use it, how they're going to package it and sell it, and where it's going to go.
We're going to just go CBA. Let's go Dak first because I think we could get in. You and I could get into the weeds of the CBA very quickly.
Sure.
So let's just talk some Dak Prescott really quickly. What is the holdup here? I understand.
It's got to be what he's asking for, and I said this before, going into the last year of his rookie deal. It was going to be incredibly hard to get an extension done because you didn't have the ability to use that fifth-year option, right? Yep. So when you're forecasting, you know, you were only forecasting when you drafted him for $2 million that year. And with all the other decisions they've got to make on that roster, unfortunately, they put themselves in the position where they re-up Jalen Smith, they re-up Zeke Elliott, they re-up, you know, guys who had years left on their deal when they really didn't have to. And then on top of that, you know, you only had projected that $2 million you know, last year to kind of work with. Whereas if you had that fifth year option, you know, you could throw that other $20 million into that extension, and then you add on the new money, and it makes it a little bit more easier to negotiate. So I think the asking price, at least if I was in his shoes, is still astronomical because I'm basing my first 2 or 3 years off 2 tags or 3 tags. And you know how that number can jump up. But look, this is what the owners want. They want the franchise tag as part of it in the CBA, which we'll get to. I don't want to, again, jump ahead. But that language ain't changing as far as the franchise tag. So if they want to keep it in there, that's perfectly fine with me if I'm willing to play year to year under a 1 year guaranteed contract and let that number continue to rise. And if I'm Dak, I would much rather go the franchise tag route instead of doing a short-term deal route. Like, that sounds to me like Jerry and Steven are trying to put some feelers out there to get Dak to convince himself that, you know, he might take a little less, even though it might be a lot of money in the first 2 years, in order to save room for some other guys. And then they'll be able to re-up him after that. I think that'd be a mistake. I think you go to the Cousins route. That's how you maximize your leverage and really how you make the most money.
It's a difficult decision, I think, for Dak Prescott, because, like, this is not – it is the same situation as Kirk Cousins in the sense that he is a quarterback who is drafted outside of the first round. His team has been, you know, hot and cold on whether they want to sign him long term. He's a controversial figure in terms of how he's viewed, you know, across the NFL landscape. But the reality is that he's a top 15 quarterback no matter how you slice it, and that eventually he is going to get paid a lot of money by somebody. The one way it's different is that I feel like while Kirk Cousins was ambivalent about staying in Washington because he wasn't sure about the long-term vision there, I think Dak Prescott really wants to be in Dallas and really wants to sign a long-term contract. And I think the problem for him is that, and you know this because, and we've talked about your, what do we call it? When you didn't sign right away, when you did contract negotiations early right, on in yeah. your first as a rookie, right?
Yeah. You had agreed upon terms.
Right, but I mean, I'm trying to avoid the H word here because that's not you know,
right.
We're trying to reset history.
Oh no, hold out. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
No, it wasn't a holdout. You guys were negotiating a contract.
Yeah,
and that's the thing with Dak. Yep. But like, if you're Dak's agents, you cannot tell him to take $35 million a year and sign with the Cowboys on a deal that isn't like slammed with guaranteed money. It's going to make you look bad. It's going to cost you future clients, et cetera, et cetera. You have to try and get the best deal possible for Dak, and the way to do that is to take. Like, I feel like there's a chance Dak would take less just to get it done, just to become a multimillionaire, and just to get to the business of being the Cowboys quarterback. But I don't think he will do that because, A, it's like sort of disrespectful to yourself. B, he's pretty close to being a free agent. And C, his agents are just gonna be like, look, Dak, we can't take this deal. There's too much money waiting after you get through the tags.
So there's the number of things you hit on, and that I'm going to address. One of the reasons why you would maybe take a bit of a discount in order to stay in the state of Texas, it's not so much so it's team friendly and they can build and all that jazz. It's because there is no state income tax.
Sure.
So there's something to that in staying, and instead of continuing to keep pressing to get to free agency, to go play where, right? Like, you'd
California,
have to ask yourself,
I mean,
California or some other organization that, to your point, isn't set up well for you to succeed, or isn't Dallas, right? And there's obviously a lot that comes along with wearing that star on your helmet. I mean,
sure.
You have to understand this. Once he signs that long-term deal, what ends up happening is, and he's already capitalizing on it now, is all that marketing money, right? When you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, he's going to make millions off the field in marketing alone. Now, you're not using that to supplement what you're leaving on the table for your contract. But what you know, that's kind of a leverage point that I think the Cowboys and Steven Jones and Jerry Jones have, is saying to him, look, if we agree to a 5-year deal, all those marketing sponsors, those people, it's Oikos or Campbell's Chunky Soup or whoever else, they're only going to double dip back in because you're an ascending player. This is the Dallas Cowboys. Everyone loves the star on the helmet. And so that's when those deals come. That's why you see sometimes your best marketing deals when you're an athlete or a player are when you come in as a rookie. You know, I was able to capitalize on a lot of that because when you're a first round pick, it's a 5-year deal. They assume you're going to be there for 5 years, and they can agree to a 2, 3, 4 year deal for a lot of these marketing deals that will end up adding on to whatever you're making off your contract. So that's something that shouldn't be overlooked because, you know, outside of going to New York, who doesn't need a quarterback, or an LA market, which I can't see him finding his way to the Chargers. And even then, they're second fiddle to the Rams anyway, and they're not moving on from Goff. There's not many other big markets you're looking at that you can say, yeah, he'd have a better chance at getting more money in marketing, and this would be a better situation for him to go to. So, unfortunately for him, I don't know that the Cowboys are going to be able to offer him what he wants unless they just put in a ton of bonuses. It's riddled with guarantees, and they can prorate that over a longer term and then kind of make it more cap friendly, and then really most likely renegotiate with him again 2 years from now if he continues on this path.
Don't you think, and by the way, we've got to get the EAS, sound drop from Brady's rookie year.
Now I'm done.
No matter how demanding my workout is, I'm not done until I finish it with EAS MyoFlex. Taken within 30 minutes after my workout, the high quality protein in MyoFlex helps me refuel and build lean muscle. That way, I don't waste any of my workout. Now I'm done. Grab your EAS MyoFlex at a leading retailer near you. Or for your free sample, go to EAS.com.
I mean, you're 22. It's a good line. We need to, but don't you think the agent thing matters? Like those guys.
That's the other thing that, you know, you hire an agent, for example, you know, for most guys, because, and his agents didn't have this pressure when he was a rookie, right? He was drafted in what, the fourth round? So they didn't have the pressure of signing a deal in a first round pick. It's slotted now anyway. So this is really where the agents prove their value to you. Back when I was in the league, the first round was different. Like they proved their value on that rookie contract because there's a thing called a quarterback premium. Now you look at it and you say, there's the philosophy that he wants to be paid market value for the quarterback position. So in order for them to justify whatever fee they're charging, which the max is 3%, it could have been negotiated down to less. Who knows? But for some of these guys, they don't take as much on the front end. They're taking maybe 1% or 1.5%, which is the standard representation agreement. That's what the union now recommends is 1.5%. for these rookie deals. So this is now, if you're looking at the contract agent, the opportunity for those agents to really cash in and make their money and prove their worth. So to that point that you said, yeah, if you're paying him a guy, whatever percentage, this is the time where you feel like he actually really is owning up to making his money. And that's why you're probably relying on him. You're probably saying to him, you tell me when this deal is right. You tell me when it's structured right and it's there, because you can educate me on it all you want. But that's, you know, he's not an expert. Dak's not an expert. He might have an idea, but, you know, every offer they make, he's got to come to you and tell you what that offer is and explain it to you. And he's most likely going to explain to you why you shouldn't take that offer until that deal is to the point where I think it surpasses Russell Wilson as far as the average annual salary.
Okay. Do you think that a deal with Dak, a Dak deal gets done before
June 15th?
They're going to tag him, obviously.
Yeah, they're going to tag him. That's what I'm saying. And that's the deadline.
These NFL teams really like, and this is not a criticism because I really like to procrastinate too. But like if you have the option to tag somebody and then push it back to, I think it's actually July 15th.
Is it July or June? I think it's July. You might be right. Yeah.
I think it's July. But, I'll check. I got it in front of me. Either way, it's in the summer.
Right.
And we saw this with Drew Brees and the Saints. He's the guy who won them a Super Bowl. They're tagging his ass and still like pushing it out into June. And then at the very last second on that date in July, they knock something out. June 15th is the deadline to, withdraw your qualifying offer to restricted free agents. July 15th, franchise tag deadline.
But don't you think that strategy is because,
it's terrible.
You have a much better idea about at that point, you know, especially for these circumstances, we'll know about the CBA here shortly. We'll know what the deal is in free agency. You'll know, you know, what you do in the draft. And so you'll have a better idea about your roster and like where you can create cap space and where you can't, and then how you maybe want to structure it moving forward, you know, based on how all those things have worked out. So, I would use it. Even though it creates the floor of the negotiation, especially for the next 2 years, maybe three if you're Dallas in this case and you're Dak's representation, I would still use it just to buy time. And look, if you haven't agreed to a deal with him by now, and I'll ask you this question. If this is Tony Romo, are we having this question? Like, Romo is probably signing an extension at this point. I don't know what the holdup has been, especially since Jerry's been public about signing him to this extension.
Yeah, it's weird. The Joneses are very good, and this is sort of a sales business side of things, but like they're very good at like, and Jerry especially, like he loves to talk out of one side of his mouth.
I mean, should he spend less time thinking about Dez in the shower and maybe more time thinking about Dak and like this deal? Like, shouldn't that be what Jerry Jones is doing right now?
Yeah, all he should be thinking about is Dak. Like, how can we sign Dak to a long-term deal? I do think though that point about, you know, your roster and how you handle this is very important. Like, you're trying, like, you can get through the draft, you can get through all that, and you can say, okay, we had earmarked X for Dak. We have a little bit more than we thought we did. Let's go ahead and crank up his salary cap hit for this year. And maybe there's enough room in terms of how you've assembled your roster and what you have sitting around that you can actually get a deal done that gets him more cash in his pocket right now. So maybe that works out. I would be wary if I was the Cowboys, though, and we said this, if Patrick Mahomes signs a contract, you could find yourself getting burnt here if Dax refuses to take less than Patrick Mahomes, because he can get more than that on the open market.
If Mahomes signs his deal first, which, you know, I keep saying Kansas City needs to be knocking at the door of Patrick Mahomes every day trying to get that extension done. But if Mahomes signs first, there's no doubt Dak plays under the tag this year. I just have a hard time imagining he's not going to try to jump over that number. And, you know, if you look at the structure of what Mahomes' deal will look like, especially knowing now what the projected salary cap for next season is, $200 million or somewhere like close to 204, somewhere in that ballpark range, which is more, I believe, right? It's like $12 million more, you know, than what the average has been. And I think if we all assume that new TV rights deal, that's going to make the number go up. The data that we can talk about later on, that's going to make the number go up. And obviously gambling, that this salary cap is only going to continue to rise. And so if that's the case, you know, you're trying to project moving forward. You might be using the tag as part of that, but either way, it's going to be really hard for them to get a deal done with Dak if he's looking at trying to surpass Mahomes' deal.
Yeah, you're right. And, man, it's going to be tricky. Todd, what's your we're going to get to the CBA stuff, too, because I think that is – like, there's all this talk that the CBA is holding up certain contracts and certain negotiations. One has been mentioned with Dak, and I think that's viable. Like, if the salary cap jumps $12 million extra dollars because they put the new CBA in, all of a sudden there's a lot more room to do that. We don't know when the cap number is going to come out.
And the fact you may have two tags, you know, so, let's say this thing gets pushed off. It doesn't pass. Now we have a franchise and a transition tag. And so it changes how you look at trying to figure out, both Dak or Byron Jones or whoever else, you know, you look at on your roster as far as, you know, or Amari Cooper for that matter, guys that could potentially both be tagged, right? Tennessee is another, in another situation.
Tampa
with Jameis and Shaq Barrett. So, if you're operating under that, I mean, there is still a lot you have to be seen. And I think probably the tag more so than even the salary cap may be the thing that you're trying to determine first, right? Since there is a deadline with when you have to apply that tag, what, March 12th, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, but it has been, they've been willing to be fluid with it because they're still voting on the CBA. And just really quickly.
They've already pushed it back 2 days.
March 10th,
now, right?
March 10th at 4 p.m. And then they bumped it back 2 days.
Yep. So that's
what I was going to say for listeners who don't know. So currently under the current rules of the CBA that is set to expire after 2020, you can use the franchise tag and the transition tag this year only. If they work out a new CBA before the start of the league year on March 18th at 4 p.m., you will only be allowed to use one of those per team. So you can either use the franchise tag or the transition tag. So that sort of affects how teams make the decision. And as we mentioned with the salary cap, currently, it's projected to jump between $10 and $12 million for 2020. However, if they work out a new CBA, it is entirely possible it jumps $20 million. Like, right. I don't think that's likely, but it's possible. So that's anyway. Back to your point.
Yeah, no. So there's a good chance that it could go up by even more, and then at that point, you know, you have more room to work with. Which, you know, maybe at that point it makes sense again to use the tag. You've got that July deadline, and so that way you have a better understanding of where you're going to be at for this upcoming season. Which, you know, is you know, as important for Dak and the Cowboys as anyone, just again because of the way he came in as a rookie. He wasn't a first round pick. You don't have that fifth year option. I can't explain enough to people why it makes this negotiation so much more difficult for the Cowboys, because when you draft a guy in the fourth round, you're looking at him to be potentially a backup that, you know, evolves into a starter, or a guy who, you know, ends up at some point taking over maybe second, you know, third, fourth year. We'll see. More of a project. He came on as a rookie and looked phenomenal from preseason all the way through that year. So they should have been doing this, you know, all along. And unfortunately, because of how the seasons have gone, you know, the at times injuries to Zeke, injuries to offensive linemen, the play of Dak, I think they've had their reservations, which is why it leads me to think, if you don't know by now and you don't want to pay him what it's going to cost now, it only gets more expensive. So you might as well tag him. You might as well move forward and let him try to prove it again this year. And if he can, you know, again, jump on top of the numbers that he did this past year, I think at that point you have to pay him. You have to deal with what the situation is.
So the if you look at previous, so Dak has played now 3 years, right?
Four years.
He played 4 years. Yeah, Dak's played 4 years. Right. But sorry. I was doing the math wrong. Dak has played 4 years. Russell Wilson played 3 years and then signed his contract. It's similar situation to Dak is what I'm saying. It's like the Cowboys, when you have a guy that you draft in the middle to late rounds and he turns out to be a franchise caliber quarterback, a top half of the NFL quarterback, the Raiders did this with Derek Carr. He's a second round guy.
Right.
Seahawks did it with Russell Wilson. If you don't have that fifth year option, you need to get your ass to the ATM and pay him as soon as humanly possible.
Right.
And that's why the Cowboys have screwed the pooch.
Well, and they had to have known after the first couple of years. They had to have known.
Yeah.
They should have never, and they should have offered him something that he was willing to take. Cause again, even though he's making that marketing money because he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, if they would have flashed $60 million fully guaranteed at him 2 years ago, he would have signed that in a heartbeat. And so now you've got him under contract for 4 years. Let's say extension or, whatever the additional years on top of it. Let's say three. And so it would have ended up being a 5 year in totality with the 2 years left on his deal. At that point, if you flash that deal to him, are you concerned about, maybe you overpaid or maybe you gave him too much money, considering how cheap he's been the past couple of years? Yeah, that's your biggest concern, right? But now you have control of him. If things don't work out, you can trade him, maybe get something back in return. And obviously you could have been able to work out, other contracts and you would have, again, had him cheap, maybe not as cheap as he's been the past 2 years, but relatively speaking to other franchise quarterbacks, much cheaper than what they're going to have to pay for his services now.
The mistake by the Cowboys, Derek Carr, was Dak, gosh, I'm getting old. Dak was drafted a year before Derek Carr somehow. Is that right? No, that's not right. What am I talking about? Derek Carr's contract, I'm looking at the, sorry. Dak Prescott was drafted the year before Derek Carr signed his contract extension, I think is what that is.
Yeah.
And my point being is that, I was like, man, that's not correct. I was like, what the hell am I looking at? I was looking at the Spotrac contract names. Anyway, they should have.
Is that how you pronounce it? Is it Spotrac? Spotrac?
Spotrac.
Yeah, it's like no one knows how to pronounce it.
Yeah, you hear. You can't really pronounce over the cap.
Right. It's a great resource though for all this information. They do a tremendous job. Kudos to them. Can they get us a phonetic pronunciation of their website?
I just need to know. Is it Spotrac or Spotrac?
Is it Spotrac? Spotrac? I mean, what do we got here?
Also, what does that mean? I don't know what it means. Is it like?
I have no idea.
Like, I assume the track is like we're tracking contracts and stuff, but what's SPO?
Yeah. Is that an acronym? What do we got? Sport? Is that short for sport? But why wouldn't you just say sport in there? Why do we spell? Or spot?
Maybe somebody misspelled sport and contract.
Someone's going to listen to this and they're going to be like, these are the two dumbest human beings alive.
Like, I need to know. I mean, I love spot track.
Whatever.
Anyway, the car thing threw me for a loop. But the point being is that the Cowboys should have signed Dak Prescott before Jared Goff or Carson Wentz signed.
Oh yeah.
You could have saved yourself a ton of money. Now you screwed it up and you have to deal with the tags. Anyway, and the tags will be involved in the CBA, which we will talk about after this break.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Okay, Brady Quinn. The new CBA. Deep nerd law talk, labor law talk. Yeah. I love labor law talk.
Yeah. You know, it's great too when the players union has a litigation attorney, trying to negotiate labor law, but we won't get into that.
Mm. Yeah. It's weird why you would have to hire a trial lawyer to be lead a labor union.
Wouldn't you think you want to hire someone who's dealt with more of these transactions and labor law?
D. Smith's profile has improved over the last 10 years for somehow.
I don't get it. I mean, I don't mean to give him a hard time because I think obviously the players union is a victim of its own circumstances. And I think sometimes what the goals are aren't prioritized in the right way. And so if you look at what's proposed now, my biggest issue is with it, you know, one, it's too long. It's technically is going to be 11 years. If this thing gets ratified, it's 11 years. They're pitching it as 10, but it's 11 because you're under the last year of the current deal, right? It's like, it's much like we've talked about with contracts when we're talking about new money and all this stuff. No. You got to tie in the years that were still under contract with the additional years and the money. And that's where you get the true value of what that contract is worth. But agents will spin it, much like in this case, the owners are kind of spinning it to make it look like a 10-year deal. It's 11 years. So that's the first issue I have. It's too long. If you want it to be that long, have an opt-out, have the ability to – and it could be a mutual opt-out, right? But we don't know what the gambling revenue is going to look like. We don't know how the vague language that's within the CBA and what they're going to do with this data and if they're going to be able to capitalize off that at all and what that's going to look like in 3 years, 4 years. So why not have the ability to get out if you can?
Well, and this is something that I have made a point of. I made a point about it the second that we saw that sheet come out, the sheet of proposed terms. And it's a very loose group of terms. It is not the CBA itself. Andrew Brandt wrote about the CBA on SI.com for the MMQB. It's worth checking out. I believe Andrew said that he's actually seen the full
Correct.
CBA.
Correct.
And that's important. Like, when you make judgments about this, it is important to be able to say we've seen the full document of this. The thing that caught my eye immediately, though, was that the NFLPA and the NFL had agreed to loose definitions of gambling revenue and of personal data. And to me, it would be borderline negligent for the NFLPA and the union to enter into an 11-year contract, as you point out, with the NFL owners, these group of 30 billionaires and Mark Davis, he's a half a billionaire. And those Packers
shade
fans.
At Mark Davis. And they'll need that shade, by the way, with that, the black hole stadium that's out there, the middle of a desert, just straight black. What's the AC bill going to be in that thing, man?
It's going to be insane.
No one thought about that, look, but yeah.
He built a stadium in Vegas. He's a billionaire incredible. To me.
Yeah, yeah.
But what this is ignoring, I think, and what I think obviously the owners have said, you know, the presumption is that they're going to try and put all this revenue, all this gambling, this influx of gambling money into what is called all revenue. And all revenue is what the union and the owners split,
right,
when they go to the share. It includes all the TV deals, et cetera. I'm sure it includes a lot of money from DraftKings, who paid them to be the official partner, Daily Fantasy of the NFL. However, Brady. And this is one of the big sticking points. And I know Andrew included it in his article, and it's something I've talked about a lot. What the players union is missing is that all revenue does not include team specific revenue.
Right.
In other words, if right. Jerry Jones sells the naming rights to the Star, which
Correct.
He did in Frisco to Ford, he keeps all that cash as part of the Dallas Cowboys LLC or whatever it is.
Right.
And this is the catch to me. Gambling is going to operate on a state by state basis, which means all of these teams are going to work inside of the state that they operate in to figure out how to get revenue to their team specifically.
That's
and
right.
The players won't touch a cent of that.
And that's where you'd like to put in provisions or have a better understanding. So it goes back to my initial point, having an opt-out. It could be mutual, both sides, and that makes this negotiation look a little bit more agreeable, right? Like, hey, we both have the opportunity to get out after 5 years because we don't know what that landscape's going to look like. So that could be one point that, and then Brandt points this out, that is non-negotiable. Because one of the things the owners have said this entire time is that 17 games is non-negotiable in a new CBA. Which, and he does discuss this too, and I've said this all along. At what point then are we talking about 18 games? Like, where does it stop? Because
in 5 years.
Well, I don't know if in 5 years because we've got an additional playoff game. But yeah, after this next CBA, and he alludes to that, and I've said that all along. Like, at what point does it stop? At what point are we saying, you know, there's too much football, right?
So, Brady, you know, when you're sitting on an airplane, and this probably doesn't happen to you because you're strong and, you know, took EAS as a rookie.
Now I'm done.
Somebody starts sliding their arm. Once somebody gets a hold of that armrest, it's not coming back.
You might as well plant a flag there like it's the moon, man.
Exactly.
Like it's yours.
If anything, once you lose the armrest, half the armrest, you're going to lose the whole armrest. It's 17 or 18 games. Once they get to 17, they're getting 8.
Yeah, you're not getting 16. It's not moving backwards. And the other thing is, so that speaks to this. You know, for starters, any point, and again, Andrew Brand points this out in his article, they're currently that are 47% of the revenue split, all revenue split that we talked about. And first off, with a new agreed upon new CBA, there's no jump this year. That to me is asinine. I don't know how you would agree to that sort of deal with no improvement and then really marginal improvement until you get that 17th game season. And people are like, well, why does that matter? You know, like they're still getting a greater percentage than any other professional sports union. Well, one, the NBA, NHL, it's apples to oranges comparison. These are bigger rosters. The NFL players, whether or not they think they have leverage, they have more than they realize. And because they have bigger rosters and there's more people to take care of, they should push to have a higher percentage to make it 50-50 at least. And that could be another point that you say is non-negotiable. But again, as you pointed out, even if it was a 50-50 revenue split and they tried to negotiate that and said, look, if you want a 17th game, it's got to be 50-50. And we realize even in saying that, it's still not going to be even because there's all sorts of other ways you're going to be able to tap into, you know, your state, whether it's the gambling revenue, the Patriot Place, the things that are like Robert Kraft has around the stadium that he takes in. No other owner does. He doesn't have to share that revenue. There's all sorts of things like that for every single team. That's why, for example, Shad Khan's building that whole facility around Jacksonville, out where their stadium is. So, you know, the problem with these players are, I think some of them are cognizant of this, of what they're going to be missing out on. But the issue is, they don't do a good job messaging it, A, and communicating to the masses, to their players. And instead, the owners then throw out all these, you know, these rumors and reports of what the minimum wage guys, who really are the largest group of the league, and the 100 grand that they'll be getting additionally, and say, here, you sure you don't want this? This sounds like a much better deal. Everyone's getting 100 grand more. And especially all those players who are in college, who aren't a part of this yet, but they don't know what to expect. So they're glad to take on any of this. That's where I feel like the players union falls short in this negotiation is there are a select few are saying, hey, this is a bad deal. We should wait. We should hold off. We should try to push the owners to the limit of a work stoppage and use the TV network contract as our leverage. But unfortunately, there's just not enough guys listening. And the crazy thing about this to me is when you listen to some of the players out there who are for it and some of the opinions of people saying, well, you know, the stars of the league don't like it because it's not good for them. Really? I actually think it's probably worse for the stars of the league. Like if you could make a case because A, there's no change in the franchise tag, right? Which you'd make the case the best players in the league usually get tagged when they're on the roster, right? Because teams don't want to let them get to free agency. So if you don't have a change in that, obviously these star players are saying, yeah, this isn't a good deal for us. We'd like to have more. They realize that it's a good deal for the minimum guys, but they're also probably trying to get more for those guys. So, you know, Not being able to communicate some of these facts to these guys and get them to understand that they have more leverage than they realize. If they have a closer to a 50-50 revenue split and they made that non-negotiable like the 17th game, they could do whatever they want with the additional revenue they're getting from that. So yeah, it could go to increase the minimum spending. However they want to structure it, that's part of the issue though is there is nothing that is non-negotiable for the players union. They're just happy to take whatever they can get.
And the other problem, I would say two things about it too. One, like, you look at like war battlefield tactics.
Sure,
the owners are doing the right thing. I mean, in like from a tactical standpoint, they're all a bunch of. I mean, they're not all old and white, but they're a bunch of old rich guys for the most part. And the last thing they want is for the players to get on the same page and to operate in a cohesive fashion. In terms of how they negotiate. Instead, they would rather have the Aaron Rodgers, the Drew Brees, the JJ Watts of the world yelling about one thing.
Just look at the voting of the executive committee versus the player reps. You had an executive committee that was 6-5 against, 7-4 against, as we saw. And then you end up having the player reps who are 17-14, one, want to abstain, who are for it. Like, there's already a disagreement in all this because, again, not that there's misinformation, but I don't know that everyone is as informed as they should be on this. And they've supposedly been negotiating this for what, 10 months now?
Well, look, the owners have, again, 32 teams with their ability to get their message out in a way they want to get it out. Right. And players don't have that. I mean, players have Twitter, and they've done a great job with it. The union does not have – I mean, I like – there are plenty of guys at union I like, and I don't want to disrespect them, but, like, they don't have the manpower or the ability to get this information out in the media, or they just don't seem to care to push this agenda harder than they should.
I just don't understand why there would ever be this thought that the deal that's on the table – would be reduced if they waited a year from now. It's nonsensical. Like, the owners know how badly the TV contract is going to impact the revenue, the salary, everything involved. And if the players continue to push to a work stoppage, that's where the TV networks come in and say, how do you want us to do a long-term deal with you if we don't know if there's even going to be games? Like, you need to figure this out. And it usually would come via a lockout, because that's how the players then put even more pressure on the networks to then force pressure on the owners to come to the negotiation table and start conceding some things that maybe were non-negotiable. And this is one of the last thing I'll say, like I've said all along with this, is you have to strike on the leverage that they have with the owners wanting to do the 17th game, you know, deal and the expanded playoff now, because yeah, we're assuming after the CBA, they're going to want to come back for an 18th game. We don't know that. After that, they might want to stay at 17. Maybe they figured out that's the best way of it moving forward. But what other time are you going to be able to go and say, all right, this is what you want, this is what we want, and actually have that negotiation? You don't know when you're going to have leverage again. And that's why I feel like this, to me, is one of the most important times ever for the NFLPA union to capitalize on what they have in front of them.
It's the single biggest leverage point that the NFLPA has had since
probably 2006. Well,
fine. 2000, whatever it is, like, it's the biggest leverage point in a decade and a half that they've had. Right. And if they don't, like, if you,
do people know, like, they had a greater share of the revenue split back in 2006? They had what, 52, 53%?
53, 47.
Like people, like, I remember we do a radio show, right? And people call and be like, well, these are the owners. Why should the players have a greater, you know, percentage of the revenue split? I'm like, well, they already have before, dude. That's not unprecedented. Like, you know history, like, it's not unprecedented, because even if they had 52-53%, when you still factor in all the revenue that they're able to get just within their state, around their stadium and their facilities and all that, it's a lot more even than you think. And that's the problem, is, again, fans are misinformed. And for some reason, I kid you not, fans tend to relate more to owners, and I think it's maybe from fantasy, than they do players. But yet, if you look at the tax brackets, you're closer to a player than you are an actual owner.
Yeah. Well, the reason that fans relate to owners instead of players is because teams have been, and the NFL and the ownership did a really good job with this, teams have been turned into a public commodity / institution. So, like, the Browns are part of Cleveland, even though they moved out of Cleveland. And so, like, the fans are mad when Brady Quinn won't, you know, come into, like, you know, like, it's been flipped on that way. So it's like, what do you mean you don't want to go play football for a living? I'd do that for no money. It's like, no, you wouldn't.
Right.
You definitely wouldn't do that. You would get as much money as you possibly could, and you should get as much money as you possibly could.
It's like a social experiment, you know, social science experiment. People would do the same thing if they're in your shoes. They always would. And look, there's been players like, you know, what, Pouncey, Russell Okung. They talked about putting $250K into a strike fund, which, look, it's great, but you need more guys to be involved in that. And really, that fund's going to go to players who are getting drafted into the NFL at that point in time, right? To make sure that, like, they don't try to abandon, you know, the rest of the union that they're entering into, because they don't have any money yet. Maybe some marketing money, but that's about it. And obviously, the other fear is the fact that the last time we went through this, man, players are so poorly prepared. I mean, we had a $60,000 non-interest earning account that we had put aside. Most guys blew through that in like 2 months. And that's the hard part, is for people at home to understand, it's not like we get a weekly pay stub or a bi-weekly pay stub all year. You only make money during the season, really, besides some off, you know, you know, out of season bonuses. It's not like you're getting paid during the off season. So you really have to be good about budgeting anyway. So it's always surprised me where people are like, well, we don't want a work stoppage. Well, if the work stoppage starts in March, like, much like we're talking about the franchise tag, it's really not a deadline until you get close to the actual season, the preseason, training camp, and games. So it's not like these guys are missing out on a ton of money at that point. Really not until we get to September is where you have a concern with that.
Right. No, that's a good point. You get paid during the season. You got to hold on to your money. Right. And it's got, I would imagine it's hard to have a bunch of money and to hold on to that with people pulling at you from all different angles. Speaking of pulling at you from all different angles, Brady Quinn has a radio show that he does on Sirius XM. And he does CBS Sports HQ and he hopped on the podcast in between those things.
I wish
you know who
it.
Else likes to save money.
Who's that?
CBS.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
I'm just kidding.
That's the same. Nah. They might say different with that Tony Romo contract, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Are we allowed to comment on that?
I go, but just, you mentioned you say Tony Romo, I go full Charlie Day. Let's see what we get next week, buddy.
Yeah, we'll talk next week. By next week, we may have this the CBA ratified, so we'll see what it looks like.
You know what we could do? Maybe it'll get ratified.
Emergency
on
pod? Emergency pod?
Oh, we're doing an emergency CBA
pod.
Why don't
you give me one of those snow cap you're wearing right now?
I will. This is from, what is this from? Super Bowl in Minnesota, I believe. L-I-I? Yeah. I can't tell.
53, right?
Unless 50, I'm looking at a mirror. It's hard to, I'm looking at a screen.
Two or three? I'm trying to count how many Roman numerals that is. It looks like three. Yeah.
It is three.
Do you count the Lombardi though? Is that one of them?
No. Oh, okay. It's 53. That would be the, although it'd be cool if they did like two Lombardis as like a V.
Yeah, cause really you did the Roman numeral then the V, right? Yeah. It'd be lit. Yeah, that was this past year. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Brady Quinn. See you next week. It was fun.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.